Chapter 17. I hope you have your Bible tonight. That's your sword. That's a double-edged sword. Amen. You whip that thing out, people will run. I'll tell you what you do on your job. If people come around gossiping, cussing, or telling dirty jokes, take your big old Bible, your big Bible. Don't get one of them little. Take your big old, that big old family Bible. Lay it up there on your desk, open. And they come up there and start talking. I've done it. They come up there and start talking that junk. Look at your Bible and then look at them. Read your Bible and then look at them. And they go, oh, I'm sorry. And then say, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm not the one writing it down. Amen. That's what I used to tell them. It'd get all over them. Amen. But how are they going to know if you don't tell them? I mean, there's some secret agents, but there are no secret Christians. Amen? Amen. Judges chapter 17, and tonight I can tell you're not a secret Christian. You came back. Amen. You know, people watch your car. Your neighbors watch your car. They can tell you, whether or not you're going to church. They know. You think they don't know. They know. They know. And so it's good testimony to go to church. Amen. All right, Judges 17. I'm going to read one verse, give you a little explaining. I want to teach you tonight. I want to teach you. I'm going to preach you, but I'm going to teach you. And somebody told me this morning that it was one of the best sermons I ever heard on the ark. And I struggled with it so hard when I got through, the old devil told me I made a mess of it. And yeah, he's a liar. But thank y'all. Okay, Judges 17, verse 6. I hope you still love me after this. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I want you to underline that. Every man, Judges 17, 6, did that which was right in his own eyes. And I want to talk to you tonight about, you'll hear it a lot in the media and now in politics, the word morality. The word morality. Our morals are, I heard our last president say, that's not what we are. That's not what America is. That's not what our morals are. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to show you tonight what that means. And it means different things to different people, but everybody can't be right. There's a right and there's a wrong. And I'm going to show you. Okay, so next time you hear that, it sounds real good, though, doesn't it? No matter who says it, it sounds real good, you know, our morality. We want to be moral people. Well, I'm going to show you what that means. But I'm not always the smartest person in the room. I'm not always the sharpest tack. So I use the dictionary a lot. I really do. And when I hear words that sometimes I say, well, I know what that means, but what that means is I don't think that means that I mean what they mean. You ever felt that way? I mean, they aren't jiving with what I think this means. So I looked up the word morality in the dictionary. Yeah, Danny and Lancaster, we had dictionaries. I learned how to use one in the fourth grade. Morality are what is socially acceptable principles concerning the distinctions between right and wrong behavior. You got that? I'm going to read it again. What is socially acceptable principles concerning the distinction between right and wrong behavior? Now, it has a lot to do with who's in charge of the social part. It can change. That word morality can change to mean something else. It just depends on what is socially acceptable principles. With some people, abortion is socially acceptable. And with others, it's immoral. Here in Judges, Samson is dead. This is the time before kings. They had no king. God gave them judges to rule Israel, to lead Israel. Had a lot of battles. They would lead them into battle. They would judge their arguments and their help them enforce the laws, you know. Samson was not even a good example of one. But he was a deliverer of Israel. During his time, because of the strength that God gave him, he delivered Israel from the Philistines. And though he was not always morally acceptable, he was the leader that they had. Now he's dead. So if you read right above that, and I'm not going to take time to do it, this family goes and they say, well, we need to figure out what to do, so we're going to make our own God. And they make an idol and put it up. And then God tells us why they did that. In verse 7, he said, because, it says in verse 7, he says, and in those days there was no king in Israel. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know, in David's day, they would have torn the idol down and busted up. Chapter 17, verse 6. Some of y'all look puzzled. Listen, they would have taken that idol down, burned it up. Moses would have ground it into powder and put it in water and made them drink it. He did that one time. But now they have no king. They have no judge. So they're doing whatever they think is right in their own eyes. They have no final authority. They have no government. They have no president. They're running it their lives for themselves. Now, these are the people of God. These are the people that have known God through all these generations. They don't have the Bible like we have the Bible as a final authority. They had to look to a priest or a king for their final authority. So now they're doing whatever they think that they ought to do on their own. Same thing you and I did before we got saved. And what was wrong to us then doesn't seem like it. I mean, what was right to us then doesn't seem so right anymore, does it? Because we were making up our own socially acceptable principles as we went along. Whatever felt good. Now, several things I want to talk to you about this word. It's used a lot in the days that we live in. There's a lot of scripture that, even though it's not that word, it's good examples, okay? Turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Romans chapter 2. We're going to do a lot of scripture tonight, so hang on. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Hurry. We left out here late today. Some people complain. I say, if y'all turn your pages quicker, we get out of here quicker. Quit making long announcements and next. Now, look at Romans chapter 2, verse 14, 15. Y'all know I'm picking at you. Matter of fact, I don't think anybody minded leaving late other than one old grump, and he's always grumpy anyway, so I just live with it. Verse 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, you notice that? Romans chapter 2, listen, verse 14, 15. Verse 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, they don't have final authority. The Gentiles have no final. Those Gentiles who are not saved, he's talking about. They have no final. Lost people don't live by the Bible. They may say they do, but it always comes down to what is socially acceptable. I mean, they look at me and I'm a dinosaur around here. The preachers around here look at me and talk about me like I'm a dinosaur. Because I'm not giving in to socially acceptable. Amen. I've got some law. I've got the Word of God. And I know where it's at. I don't have to go to the bookstore and buy 101 different translations. I've got one that's infallible right here in my hand. I've got it. Thank God. Amen. They have not the law. Do by what? Nature. The things contained in the law. Now he's talking about sin now. They don't even recognize law, but by nature, their sinful nature, when you were lost, you did things that were sin, but you didn't see them as sin. That was your nature. You just did that. You was doing your own thing. Whatever feels good, do it, you know. And these, having not the law, are unto themselves, a law in themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Now listen. Their conscience also bearing witness. And their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. You remember that?
You remember when you was lost and going to hell? Your mom and dad might have been right with God, and they tell you not to do something. You go do it anyway.
And you'd find a reason to justify it. And you'd use the law to do it.
They'd say, you need to quit drinking that liquor. And you say, well, I don't do drugs. I'm not harming my body. No, you're just dulling your brain, ruining your liver and your kidneys and your pancreas. And you'd get in a fight, and somebody'd say, that ain't right. You ought not be fighting that fella like that. I'm talking to you. And you'd find a reason to justify using the law to make it morally right to do something immoral or against the law. Talk about abortion nowadays, first thing they'll say is rape. Well, ain't the baby's fault she got raped. Have the baby, give it away. By the way, the baby's the only one that don't have a voice in the thing. So, the morality of the unregenerated, you know what I mean by unregenerated. They've never been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. They've never been born again. They've never had that sin-sick soul made new again. You understand what I'm saying? The unregenerated, they base what they do on their conscience. But according, and I'm not going to turn there, and you can look at it later for the sake of time, but 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says their conscience is seared with a hot iron. You know what that means? Now, I don't iron. If it's got to be iron, I take dry cleaners. I ain't ironing. My mama didn't teach me how to iron. I'm a man, bless God. I don't iron. Daddy does. Daddy, they taught him in the Marines how to iron. Oh, 14. Okay. We can discuss the morality of that. But they've seared their conscience. And here's how you do it. If you leave that iron in that place long enough, it's going to make a brown spot, right? And if you leave it there again, that brown spot's going to be harder next time. Then you leave it there again, it's going to be harder until finally it's going to be like a piece of paper and you just punch it out. And that's the way sin is. Sin will sear your conscience. You will justify it enough times until finally it doesn't bother you anymore. And that's a scary position to be in. Because see, if you've seared your conscience, God's got nothing to work with because that's where He works. He gets down in your heart and your soul, and He deals with your heart and your soul. And if you harden that enough times, God's going to leave you alone.
Amen.
That's what He said about Ephraim. He said, leave him alone. And so to the unsaved person, their morals are based on their conscience, which they will try to justify by the law they claim they don't believe. And you ever heard him say this? I thought you was a Christian. Christians don't do that. How do they know that? I finally got fed up with people saying that to me. I said, how you know? They said, well, according to the Bible. I said, you ain't never read the Bible. You ain't never read the Bible. I've read some of it. I said, you ain't never read enough to judge me. You don't know anything about the Bible. I said, go home, read the Bible, and then come back and talk to me about this stuff. You don't know what you're talking about. Amen?
Amen.
But see, when I was lost, I could make something morally right by using the Word of God against you.
Yeah.
I told the pastor when he come to my house trying to lead me to the Lord, 24-year-old boy right over here, 23-year-old boy right over here, he'd come over there, old Bully Fogmare, and he said, I'd say, preacher, I'm going to quit drinking, cussing, smoking, running around, you know, all this stuff, and I'm going to come get saved. And he said, you'll go to hell. I said, I thought that's what Christians was. He said, well, some of them are and some of them ain't. Some of them live right, some of them don't. And what he was saying is, you can't justify yourself by holding up somebody else and comparing yourself to them and then laying the law out there and saying, well, that's what the law says. No, sir, you can't do that. You see, God deals with your conscience about morality and what's right and what's wrong. And if you don't watch out as an unregenerate sinner, you can turn it away until your conscience is seared, he said, with a hot iron. Now, morality is limited with regenerated people on their outward appearance. Turn to, if you will, Isaiah 1:7. Isaiah 1:7. Isaiah 1:7. I'm sorry, 1:17. Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Now, God's talking to the children of Israel. He said, you're observing moons and new moons and all this stuff, but mostly our morality is judged by our outward appearance. Are we helping people? Are we loving people? Are we feeding the poor people? Are we clothing the naked people? And so mostly to the unregenerate, those who are not saved, when they're judging us as regenerated people, they're judging us by our outward appearance. So don't you tell me it don't matter how I dress. It does. And don't tell me it doesn't matter how I talk. It does. Even the lost people expect more out of saved people than that. That's how they judge us. And you say, well, they ain't got a right to judge us. They certainly do. If you're the testimony of a risen Savior and you're the witness of His life-changing effect on a person's life, everybody's got a right to judge that if you say you are. I know that don't go well with the new hippie preacher, but that's what the Bible says. I'm talking about our morality, the way we live. I'm talking about socially acceptable behavior, the strength distinctions between right and wrong. And mostly with the unregenerate people, the reason they judge us that way is because that's what they're trying to do. You ever seen lost people that say, I'm trying to quit drinking? And you say, why? And they say, well, it just ain't right. It's hurting me. It's hurting my family. It's hurting my job. It's hurting everything. I'm going to quit drinking. I've seen, I had a brother just cold quit drinking, and he wouldn't even say because of what it was doing to everybody around him. Now, that was his morality. He said it's wrong, and later on he judged other drunks because they wouldn't quit drinking because that was his standard of right. What he had done, that was his standard of right. This is what you'll do. It helped me. The worst person you'll ever find to talk to about quitting smoking is somebody that used to smoke. I used to smoke. I smoked 2 packs a day. L&M stood for Lancaster and Monroe. And I used to smoke 2 packs a day. And let me tell you something. When I quit smoking, it was one of the greatest victory I ever had. You know, I poured out liquor and beer and quit. I didn't even know I quit cussing until 3 days later. Somebody at work told me I quit cussing, you know. But that smoking, man, I was just like that. But once they quit, guess what? They think everybody's supposed to quit. Because now that is their standard of right and wrong. They did it. Everybody else is supposed to do it. That's right. And to an extent, that's right for your health and everything else. But they have no right to judge people because that's the only part they got right. I'm going to go on. I didn't even mention chewing or dipping or anything because I know some of y'all. But anyway, go back to Isaiah chapter 1. Look at verse 17. And I done went all the way over to Romans again, y'all. Listen, Isaiah chapter 1. Look at verse 17 again. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But
If you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And now, what he's saying is this. Now, I'm giving you right and wrong. I'm giving you an opportunity to get this thing right. He's talking to the nation of Israel. Now, you come to me, and I'm going to save you. But if you don't, I'm going to turn you over to something else. Now, mostly, the unregenerated person, all they see are the rules and the laws. They don't see the spiritual aspect. So they try to change their lives by quitting this and starting that and joining this and get out of that. Instead of, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Instead of coming to the Lord, now they go to the law, and which they can't even live up to. And now they judge everybody else by the standard of morality that they can't even live up to. Now, lost people do that. We as Christians, we have grace. We look at people and we say, well, the law says, but by the grace of God, there go I. Mark chapter 10. I picked out that song, Holy, 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 on purpose tonight. Number one, I love that song. Number two, He is thrice holy. Number three, we need to realize that holiness is our morality. Holiness is what the church it should have social principles with. It's the way that we ought to make distinction between right and wrong, what is holy and what is unholy. And people's forgotten that so much. Look at Mark chapter 10. Start with verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not kill. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor thy father and thy mother. He's quoting the Ten Commandments. That's the moral law. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Now he said, I've always kept the law. Now this man's not saved. He said, I've always done these things. And he probably has. Indeed, maybe not in heart, but indeed, he's probably done it. He's probably never committed adultery. He's probably never killed. He's probably never stolen. He's probably not ever been a liar. He's probably never been defrauded, cheating people, coveting. He's probably honoring his father and his mother. And it must be true because look at verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. He said, yeah, you've done all that. Now, that's God said that, so that's his testimony. Now, he said, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. Now, he was offered to be a disciple. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, it ain't so much about the riches. It's unregenerated people. They will make it an object of boasting or bragging about being moral and keeping the law of God. Really? There's a lot of good lost people. Yeah. Everybody's not a drunk. Everybody's not a drug addict. Everybody's not an adulterer. Everybody's not a homosexual. There's some men go to work every day and come home, pay their bills, and take care of their wife, and true to her, and they're true to their children, and they keep their word, and they pay their debts, and they're good people. But the sad thing is, if you ever ask them if they're going to heaven, that's the standard of morality that they go by. And they always have one thing they come short on. It may not. This guy's money. He wasn't willing to give up his money. It may be something else or somebody else. But you see, lost people, because they think their morality is based on the Word of God, a lot of them will brag on it. The man was bragging on it. He said, I've always done this from the day I was little. I've done this, Lord.
And you did the same thing. They'd say, well, what makes you think you ought to go to heaven? You'd say, well, I ain't never killed nobody. I ain't never robbed a bank. I love my wife. Been true to her. Y'all still with me? And see, you didn't know it, but your unregenerated mind and spirit was really, you're bragging about being so moral that God ought to let you into heaven. But he said, one thing thou lackest. And everybody in this room, we could all say, one thing thou lackest. We've all got things we lackest. And listen, God saved us because we came to him, not because we kept the law. Amen? I told him when I got saved, I said, if anybody ought to go to hell, I ought to go to hell. If anybody ought to burn, I ought to burn. But thank God. Amen? Thank God. I wasn't judged by the law. I was judged by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty of the law so I wouldn't have to pay it. But you see, that's how lost people look at the law. They look at the Bible as a set of rules and do's and don'ts. And it is to a certain extent. It is God's laws. But don't think you're ever going to live up to every one of them to perfection. Only one did that. That was Jesus Christ. And he died for all the rest of us who fall and come short the glory of that God. So when I was lost, I would kind of brag sometimes about my great morality. You'll see some pervert on television. I probably ought not go there. I'm going to go there anyway. My daughter lives up there at Asheville. She said they went to the mall and said she's got, you know, kids. Like little hens, you know, little hen. And got those four kids trying to get them into the mall. And said, somebody said, let me get the door for you. And she looked down there and there was a dress, you know, a big long dress. And somebody opened the door and she looked up and said it was a big old brawny man wearing a dress. Not a skirt, a full dress. And said he was nice and he was polite. And she said, I looked at him and said, she's awfully being mean to people. So I was nice to him. And so I said, thank you for holding the door. We went in, and I didn't think my kids noticed it, and said that night when they was going to bed, my oldest daughter said, Mommy, that man that held the door up was wearing a dress. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. He might have been a good man. I mean, really. I mean, according to the world's standards, the morality of the world, he might have paid his bills on time. He might not be a liar. He never killed anybody. He never robbed a bank. He didn't do drugs. He wasn't a drunk. But he come short. And to us, it's a very obvious short. Most of our short is not that obvious, see. But the unregenerate world would look at him and say, you ain't got no reason to judge him. And I say, I don't judge him. The Word of God does. Because, see, he has made his own morality. And he's decided God's wrong and he's right in this thing. And we did the same thing in other areas. We made it up, didn't we? Some of you were taught better. And yet you'd go on and break God's law and you'd always find a way to justify it by bragging on what you did right.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's turn that thing around. And if you want to turn there, say 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And he said, all old things pass away, behold, all things become new. That's the new birth that Jesus talked about in John chapter 3, verse 3, to a very religious and moral man. Told him, ye must be born again. And this man was a law keeper. He was a teacher of the law of God. So I got to think about it from the other side of the coin. From us, our morality to us, in the regenerated part, it's based on a new birth. You see, we were born wrong. Old Lady Gaga was right. She was born wrong. She wasn't born a homosexual, but she was born a sinner. David said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. Amen. And we were all born wrong. We were born sinners. You have to teach morality to children. It doesn't come natural.
It's survival of the selfish fittest. Amen? Whoever's got the biggest muscle on the playground gets the ball. Amen? You wasn't ever one of them, brother. I wasn't either. Don't sit there and act like you know what I'm talking about. He was. But then, all through our lives, we'd obey the law we liked of God, and if we didn't like it, we'd find a reason to justify that it didn't apply to us. But then one day you met Christ, and you gave Him your heart, and your mind, and your spirit. And guess what? He gave you a new life. A new life. You were born again, and He gave you a new mind, a new heart, and a new spirit. And you walked, if you got born again like I did, you walked out of that room a different person. I mean, I went from extremely left to extremely right in one day. Didn't even have to go to a class. He gave me a new mind. He did. He gave me a new mind. When I got saved, I quit making up my rules for myself, that moral law, and I found out what God wanted. I don't try to justify my sins anymore. I don't do it. It's not worth the time, because every time I do, the Holy Spirit says, now you're putting lying on top of your sin. You're just lying. You did that because you thought about it and you did what you wanted to do, and that's it. You didn't do it. Nobody made you. That old Flip Wilson used to come on television. You remember him? The devil made me do it. He was the first man I ever seen dressed like a woman, by the way. And later on in his life, he proved it to be true. But anyway, listen. We just justify it. But now that we're saved, I don't try to justify. I say, Lord, help. Lord, I did sin. I knew what I was doing when I did it. I knew I shouldn't do it. And I did it anyway. And it's not me, but it's sin that dwelleth in me. Oh, wretched man that I am, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7. He said, that which I would not, I do. And he said, that which I would do, I do not. And he goes through that thing three or four different ways. And then finally he says, oh, wretched man that I am. And I find the law that within me dwells sin. So with my flesh, the law of sin. But with my mind, I'm serving the law of Christ. So I don't make excuses anymore. I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. It's not right. I don't try to justify it. You helping me? You still with me? Now, if you turn on TV news, morality changes every night. Now, for the saved people, turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Are you still with me? Am I making sense? Good. When it's over, tell me when I see it. We'll have a test. Get me a copy. Galatians chapter 5, stay out of my preaching, we're going to move you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, look at this, with affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You see what he's saying? He's saying, as believers who have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, we now have a morality that is just like God's, and God, the Holy Ghost, puts it in our heart. We don't hate people anymore, we love people. We're not mean to people. We're gentle. We're kind. We're loving. We're long-suffering with people. We put up with a whole... I put up with a whole lot more than I would before I got saved. I'll tell you that right now. Amen? Before I got saved, you know, a lot of things I wouldn't have put up with, I put up with now. But you see, that kind of morality is prompted by the Holy Ghost. That's not our nature. Our natural man in here is not like that. That's the Holy Spirit that's moved in there and regenerated that old dead sinner. Amen. So, he's given us a new mind. He's given us a new heart. Now we're thinking different. Now we feel different. And so our morality is based on the teachings and the inspiration and the moving of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, see. And that never changes. Now, I grew up in the 60s. I'm born in 54. I grew up in the 60s and the 70s and peace and love and all that lie. It was all a lie to sell records. It was all a lie to make movies. It was all a lie, you know. And we saw what really happened, you know, when the Hell's Angels rolled in. We saw what it was really like. Listen, I'm telling you, God, when He gets to hold to a person, you find out what real love is. Amen. You find out what real peace is. You find out what long suffering's really all about. Because, see, that's now Him in you, working through you. That's not you. That's Him in you, working through you, see. Now, that's our morality. It's not going to change. He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I change not. God's not changing just because popular opinion changes. People come here and say, preacher, you ought to come up to date and modernize. I said, I don't see nothing in the Bible says that. You ought to jazz up your music a little bit. You can't get no more jazzed up when just sing. Amen. Amen. You can get more worldly. Amen. I know. I've been to churches where it's hard to stay awake. You have to pinch yourself every once in a while. They sing so bad. But that ain't here. And let me tell you something. Our morality does not change just because we change presidents or politicians or preachers or pastors or evangelists. It is written. It is written. And not only is it written in the Word of God, it's written on the tables of our heart. Since I've been saved, I've been done wrong probably more than anybody in this room. It break your heart. I could tell you some stories. My wife and kids said, Dad, don't tell that story. It makes us cry. That's all kind of story I got. I've been through the fire, man. But listen, I've got mad at people that's hurt me and my family. And I wanted to get to hate them. I wanted to. And I couldn't. I couldn't. I wanted a little retribution, but the Lord, it just wasn't there. It's not now. It used to be a long time ago. You know, you might be homeless. But now, I can't, Billy. I can't hate anybody. You said, what if I come up at your house and did this and did that? I don't know. I'll just have to tell you how, whenever it's over. But since 1978, I can't find it in there. I want to be short with people sometimes. I want to just quit on them and give up on them. And then as soon as I do, the next day I turn around and pick them up again. I don't know how it is. Sometimes the pastor, well, this pastor, I've took that Bible home on Sunday nights, throw it up on the shelf, and I said, I won't speak no more in His name. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people that don't care. I'm tired of people that show no kind of results in their life. I'm wasting my breath. Throw it up there on the shelf. And Tuesday morning, be reading it again. I can't quit. Because God put that in your heart. See, and the reason He's put it in there is that law is God. I mean, God put that, He wrote those commandments with His own finger. And now He's wrote them on the tables of your heart with the Holy Ghost finger. He's written them in there. And look, you can't be this new morality. My wife made fun of me. We went on vacation. My wife makes fun of me. Y'all pray for her. And we was getting ready to go somewhere. She said, don't wear that. I said, what? She said, you think you're supposed to dress like a preacher everywhere you go? Put on them blue jeans in there. We're going walking in the woods. Put on them blue jeans. You ain't supposed, you ought to be look like a preacher all the time. I said, I can't help it. She laughed at me, made fun of me. Y'all pray for her, she'll get her heart right. Don't tell her, please. I'm scared of her. Sometimes.
Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. I'm going to show you. Now, here's the verse. Hebrews 8, 10. Look at it with me. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now, we're adopted into that family by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He adopted us into the family of Israel. Amen. And he did that for us, just like he did it for them. You say, people say, well, you're a bunch of Bible thumpers. I say, I can't help it. Every time my heart pumps, the law of God pumps with it. It's written in my heart. I can't help it. I'm a Bible thumper. Amen. Y'all a bunch of holy rollers. No, holy rollers when you roll over on Sunday morning because you feel so holy you don't have to go to church. But hey, whatever you want to call me, I can't help it because he's put that right. Look, this. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's what David says. That thing's in my heart. Sometimes people say, preacher, you know so many Bible verses. How you learn those? You just read them, put them in your heart. Sometimes I get to preaching, verses come up, I forgot that I remembered. But listen, after so many years of trying to be a Christian moral person, if that's what you want to call it, it's just in there. You see, a lot of Christians' problem is this. They look for reasons not to put it in their heart. They look for reasons to be more like the world because they think it's easier to be like them than it is to be like us. But I've got news for you. The way of the transgressor is hard. Well, you can't do that with me. I'm going to live free. Yeah, and I'll see you in jail in a couple of weeks. We used to say that, didn't we, Billy? Can't nobody tell me what to do. Yeah, and I'll see you lose your job in a couple of weeks. You ain't free. When you start making up your own rules, your own laws, and you go against God's, you'll lose every time. Sometimes I'll sit back and I watch my grandkids and I tell them, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And they act like they don't hear me and they lie and I know they hear me. And they go ahead and do it anyway and they get hurt and they start crying. They come over to me. I said, don't come over here. I told you not to do it. But God, as a regenerate person, God lets us get that word in our heart, see. All right, turn to Philippians chapter 3, and I'll be through. Philippians chapter 3. You ain't mad at me, are you? Well, if you are, it's all right. Philippians chapter 3, if you will. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Now, we're talking about saved people. Now, the first part I talked about lost people. This is about saved people, okay? We're talking about morality. What is socially acceptable principles concerning the distinction between right and wrong behavior, or in our case, what is scripturally right and wrong behavior. That's what real morals are. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 7. Can I stop right here? I just get so tired of these politicians and news people using that word and saying that's not what we are. You know, we don't run off immigrants. They're not an immigrant. They're an illegal alien. They lied. They broke our law as soon as they got across the border. They're breaking the law. And then they lie and get a fake driver's license. Then they lie and get a fake Social Security card. Then they lie and get a job. And God bless them. I love them all and I hope to get saved. I've had a Spanish ministry, but I'll tell you something. If you live a lie, sooner or later, it's going to catch up with you.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those things I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Man, I like that. for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now that's a man that's determined to follow Jesus. Amen? Man. That I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Jesus Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Look at this. Being made conformable unto His death. Well, that don't sound like the modern Christian today, does it? What he's saying is, I just soon die. And I need to die to myself. And die to what I want. And if it means losing everything I've got. That's what he's saying. You try to talk people in America getting saved, and they'll say, well, preach, if I do that, I'm going to have to quit drinking Budweiser. Small price to pay. Preacher, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to marry that woman I've been shacking up with 3 or 4 years. Small price to pay. Yeah. Preacher, if I do that, I'm going to have to start paying child support to those children I birthed and ain't never lived with them or took care of them. Small price to pay. He said, I'd just soon count it all dung. Everything I've got, everything I am, everything I ever will be, I just count it as dung. That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. That's not a profession of faith. That's an experience with God. If you've ever had that experience with God, you know what He's talking about. Amen? I mean, if you've had that new birth experience to where you have felt and received and experienced the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in you, everything else grows strangely dim after that. I wish Christians could just read the Bible. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I hadn't already attained. He said, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But I want to do this. I want to do this. I want a better experience with Christ. I want a better walk with Christ. I want to be closer to Him. I want to know He's there. I want to feel the power of the resurrection in me. Amen. Boy, if you do that, you won't even think about those things you have to quit and give up. Friends you lose. Boy, that day I got saved, I lost every friend. Lost every friend I had but my wife. And boy, you know what? I've not regretted it not one day. Not one day. Amen. A lot of them's regretted it. But I've not regretted it one day. I count all that past stuff as dung. If you don't know what that is, go look out in the cow pasture. It's all over the place. And I count that. Look, that means it's trash. It's filth. It's no good. It's an excrement. It's something that's been used up and cast out. I count all my past life without Christ that way. If you don't, you're going to go back to it. If you don't, you'll compromise your moralities. But see, your morality, it's your rules for living. And the day you got born again, all those rules changed. You know what? I'm an American. And thank God I didn't recognize Veterans Day today. Thank y'all guys that are veterans. I'm sorry I didn't. But I am an American. I'm proud to be an American. But you know what makes me a good American? I died one day and was born again. I like working here. I like y'all paying me. I do. I like this place. But you know what? I'm not a good pastor because I like you. I'm a good pastor because I love Him. Amen. And you'll be the same way on your job. You ought to be able to look at your boss, man, when he gives you a yearly survey and say, look, you don't even have to read that to me because I know I'm one of the best employees you got because I work for Him. I don't work for you. I work for Him. Amen? Amen. And if that don't please you, you ain't never going to be pleased because what I do is as unto the Lord, because I have a different set of morality and laws than y'all do. Morality. We're going to hear a lot more of it. There's a lot more elections coming up. There's a lot more people wanting to legalize some kind of sin, more sin, more sin. And by the way, just because it's legal doesn't make it right. And they're going to throw that at us. As Christians, they're going to throw that word at you. You know, that's not what we are. That's not America's morals. Yes, hey, I don't care what America's morals are. I want to know what God's are. And listen, if I live by his standards so much higher than theirs, it will improve America, not hurt it.
Amen. How's your morals? What are your principles of living? Do you just go by your feelings? Well, I hate him. Why? Because he hurt my feelings. Well, I hate her. Why? Because she talked about me. Or I deserve that. Or I deserve it. You don't deserve anything but hell. We all do. And so what we have to do, we have to live in this world with a set of morals that's so much higher and that never change. You know why? That they'll see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And the Bible says they'll ask you what your hope is. You know, everybody over here is stealing from the company. Why don't you do that? You can say, because I'm a Christian. Everybody said, we're going to the Christmas party and we're going to get drunk. Why don't you ever go to the Christmas party? Because I'm a Christian. Most men will say, because my wife will kill me. Or they'll say, if the preacher ever found out, he'd kill me. But you ought to get your own principles, your own convictions, your own laws, according to the Word of God, and look at them right square in the eye and say, no, that's not me. I'm a Christian. Amen. They'll say, you think you're better than anybody else. You say, no, I'm probably not. Probably the worst one in here. But I'm a Christian. I'm not going to live like the world. And if you want to see me at Christmas, come over to the house. I'll be glad to have you. We'll drink some hot chocolate or something. Have a good time. But I'm coming out from among that crowd. Amen. By the way, you start talking like that, you won't have to go far. They're going to leave you like you got the plague. They'll run from you like you got smallpox or something, man. You start living right, people will notice it. They'll notice it. Amen? Yeah. The sad thing is a lot of churches manipulate morality too. Church I got saved in, we had a softball team, and they drank beer after every game down at the Pizza Hut. Drink beer. They'd cuss each other out on the ball field. Don't go to Christian ball league, by the way. You don't want to see and hear what goes on out there. They make up their own rules as they go along. That almost split our church. We had a vote on stopping it, and we couldn't stop it. It almost split the church. As far as I'm concerned, that was my second step out there anyway. But the point is, churches now are doing situational ethics and morality. And they, look, churches, all right, here it is right here. Dr. Jack Hiles told me this back in he preached it in 1982 at pastor school. Here's what he said. He said, here's Southern Baptist Church, 19, whatever it was, we'll say 2017. Here's the world. In the average Southern Baptist church, there's about 20 years between what the world's doing and what the church is doing. In 20 years, whatever's going on in the world will be going on in those churches. And it's true. Been there, you see it yourself. He said, but the sad thing is, there's another group called Independent Fundamental Baptists, and you're about 20 years behind the Southern Baptists. So what they're doing right now, 20 years from now, you Independent Fundamental Baptists will have it in your churches too. Yeah. Unless you fight real hard and stand real strong. Amen. Some of them's got it. Same way with people at work. A lot of Christians only a few years behind those people at work in their habits and their hobbies. 5 or 10 years from now, they'll look just like those people. I saw a little old girl serving our breakfast. Danny so graciously found us grits. And she was refilling the stuff, you know. And on this side, she was real pretty. She had long hair and had a pretty earring right there. She was up there working. On this side, she'd done shaved her whole head. And I thought to myself, now, that's a lot of Baptists right there. On one side, they look real good until they go to work and they turn the other side and they look like the world. A lot of churches, same way. I think what we need to do is just forget the word morality altogether and say, I've got the Word of God.
Amen.
I've got the perfect standard. It'll never change.
Amen.
And I don't care what Barack or what's the one we got now? Trump or McCain or Jesse Jackson or, this is going to hurt, Hillary. I don't care what, doesn't matter what they say. What's God say? That's where we're at right now. Y'all have to make choices this week. Every one of you got to make choices on morality. Every one of you do. You better be real careful. It could hurt you for the rest of your life. It could hurt your children, hurt your grandchildren. Now, don't think the world's going to lift you up and praise you. They're going to criticize you for it. They might praise you to your face, but most of the time after that, there's a backbite. But let me tell you something. Go on anyway. A lot of Christians won't like you because of it. They'll praise you to your face and stab you in the back. Keep on going anyway. Because, see, there's a bigger prize than their popularity. There's a bigger prize than their approval, whether it's church or world. And that's, enter thou into the joys of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. I don't care who uses that word morality. I've got the law of God. And it changes not. And by the way, you might not like my old-fashioned ways around here, but I'm just putting it on the Bible. And when I'm gone, y'all might get two or three committees together and change everything. I don't know. But I'd advise you to stick with the book.
Amen.
It's always worked. Why you want to change that? It's always worked. And quit being 20 years behind somebody else. Just be what you're supposed to be and let them go and do whatever they want to. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for the Word of God that never changes. Thank